Father God, I do pray that you inspire my words this morning. I know and we know that everything is meaningless without your presence and your anointing. I pray you speak to each one of us this morning. Amen. So this morning I thought I would talk about the book of Malachi. Sometimes I think I should preach on the Old Testament more often. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. It was written about 400 years before Jesus Christ, and his contemporaries would have been Ezra and Nehemiah, probably. If you remember, they were the people who helped bring the exiles back to Israel and Jerusalem and started rebuilding the Second Temple. Like many prophets, he, surprise, surprise, he foretold the future, and of course that future was about Jesus Christ. Verse 1. I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. These words spoken by God Almighty. So the me is God Almighty. I guess we have the benefit of hindsight, don't we? And we can look at history. But through this prophet, God is saying, I'm coming to you. And you'll see me in the temple. And God will send a messenger to prepare for him. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all quote from this verse. And they all know this messenger as John the Baptist. That's the hint for next week. John the Baptist would be the forerunner of God himself. We saw a similar prophecy from Isaiah, didn't we, in our reading from the Gospel this morning. The Lord who then follows John the Baptist is none other than Jesus Christ, God Almighty, God's salvation. And Christ did go to the temple, didn't he? He went in, was it the eighth day of his life? Would then have gone every year for various festivals. And of course, he was there in the last week of his life. And like many Old Testament prophets, Malachi seems to mingle the first coming of Jesus, God's salvation, with his return, God's judgment. Have you ever had this experience? When you go climb a mountain, you're walking along and you think, I'm there. And then you get near the top or at the top and you realize you're not quite there. It might be a little bit like that. They were looking so far into the future, they could see the peak, they could see what was happening, but I don't think they realized that the mountain peaks were 2,000 years apart. In verse 1 in this passage, we see the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. In verse 2, he's talking about his return. Who can stand when he appears? Christ's judgment. This is a bit complicated, but this is a function of his second coming, and it's likened to purifying agents. Fire removes impurities from metal. Soap removes impurities from clothing. As a result of this, the process will purify the latter-day Levites. Yeah? And let me explain what I mean by Levites. Abraham had a son called Isaac. Isaac had a son called Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons, which became the nation of Israel. One of those sons was called Levi, and his descendants were set aside to care for the temple. And then one of his descendants was called Aaron, and the sons of Aaron had a priestly role in the temple. So if you look at us today, it's quite helpful, isn't it? Aaron, at the moment, is kind of, you could say, is like the tribe of Aaron. A deacon, look to serve, and Peter is in the priestly role. Yeah? So the priesthood will then carry out this sacred ministry in the right spirit at some point in the future. Scripture tells us that when Jesus returns, he's going to rule from Jerusalem. And my understanding is that this ministry will be carried out at that time. And then I thought, well, what about you and I? How do we relate this to you and I here today? Well, I don't believe we'll be called to serve in that temple. But I do believe this, that when we die, or when Jesus returns, it talks about us, if we're alive when he returns, we'll be transformed in an instant, doesn't it? And as a result of that transformation, we will be completely purified. So from that moment, like these Levites, we will never sin again. What a beautiful day, do you not think? A day when you never sin again. Still have free choice, but you'll never sin again from the moment Jesus returns. You will be purified. Verse 4. My commentator, who I usually, you'll be pleased to hear, I do read evangelical commentators, but I didn't agree with him. He says this, verse 4, of course, does not mean the descendants of Levi and Aaron will function in any temple. He goes on to say it's rather symbolic of a cleansed church and a sanctified church. Well, you decide for yourself, but I think he's wrong. I think he means what he says. As a rule of thumb, we always gravitate to the literal translation first, unless it's obvious we shouldn't. I think this, that when Jesus returns, he'll rule from Jerusalem, that there'll be a temple in Jerusalem, and that the Levites will make righteous offerings to the Lord. Offerings that are acceptable as in the days of the kings, the good kings, such as King David. Well, I'll leave it for you to consider, and a look of you are looking slightly puzzled. By all means, discuss it with me after the service, but I've got you'll be pleased to hear my principal message is somewhat simpler. My principal message is this. God sent John the Baptist to prepare people to meet Jesus Christ. Today, he is sending you, all of you, to prepare people to meet Jesus Christ. All of us. If you're Christian, if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, you have a calling to be a messenger of good news. When Jesus returns, it is not to make a way for salvation. It is to judge. Between the righteous and the unrighteous. Between those who have put their trust in Jesus and those who have not. Between those who obey him and those who do not. Let me be clear. Those people who are counted amongst his disciples will enter his eternal rest. But only his disciples. A disciple is someone who knows Jesus as Savior. They have put their faith in him. And they are forgiven as a result of that. But it's forgiven their sins. But it's equally true for the disciple that Jesus is their Lord. The disciple has repented of their sins. They are repenting of their sins. It's not enough to call Jesus Lord, is it? We must demonstrate that he is Lord by the way we think, by the way we act. Jesus says as much in the Gospel of Matthew. He says this, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." We must do the will of our Father in heaven. And we are called to prepare people to meet the Christ, as I've just said, with the PCC meeting on this week. And we discussed our vision statements. And I've tweaked it a little bit, and there's a copy at the back of church if you'd like to take one. And I think you all, hopefully you all this won't surprise you, that our mission is to worship God, grow believers and make believers. But a mission, as I've said, in terms of my walking, you're aiming somewhere, aren't you? And we talked about this as our vision, to prepare a community to meet the Christ, if that makes sense. We are all going to meet the Christ, and it is our job as a church to prepare people for that day. How do we prepare, and how do we prepare others? Well, we worship God. That's good preparation to meet Jesus Christ. We grow believers. That's good preparation to meet Jesus Christ. I want to be in the best state I can be when I meet Jesus Christ. Even as a Christian, it's a daunting prospect, isn't it? And I want to make believers. I want as many people in this community to believe in Jesus Christ. A community prepared to meet the Christ. A couple of weeks ago, I think most of you were here, I just talked about opportunities, didn't I? I talked about how the schoolboy was convicted to tell his friend about Christ and didn't. Now that schoolboy is a man now, and he's a preacher now, so he's clearly learnt the lesson, hasn't he? He takes every opportunity to tell people about Jesus Christ now. And I talked about the man who was in North Korea and was convicted, well, his wife was convicted of the Holy Spirit to give that soldier a Bible. And at the risk of his life, he gave the soldier a Bible, and the soldier wept at the result, because it was an answer to his prayer. He'd prayed to know the truth, and God gave him a Bible, the truth. But our calling, part of our calling, is to tell others about Jesus Christ. It is not to make them Christian. That's between them and God. We are simply messengers of good news. Some will receive it, others will not. And we're not held accountable for that. But we are held accountable if we do not tell. I can remember, reminded of a story some years ago. I was in my office. This is when I was a curate, or should I say assistant curate. I was in my office and I got a phone call from the administrator, and they said, "There's a man in church, you'd like to meet you." So I went, I didn't feel much like it. I went to talk to him and I told him about Jesus Christ. On the way back to the vicarage, I thought, "You're a curate. You didn't do a very good job there." And I don't think I did do a very good job there. But I did tell him, and God used it, and he was a Christian. From the moment I sat down to the moment I got up and walked home, I didn't know, found out later, but my presentation wasn't brilliant, but God used it. And he left that coffee shop Christian. This Christmas is an excellent opportunity, isn't it? You'll see people you don't usually see. You can buy them Christmas presents. Give them a Bible. Tell them about your story. Invite them to church. I do not promise they'll get a guarantee you a great message, but I will promise you this, whether it's me, Peter, Alan, they'll get a gospel message. A gospel message that Jesus Christ can use. No disrespect to the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's hard for him, even him, to convert someone if we don't give a message. Folks, this is important. Christ is returning. His judgment is real. Some will know eternal life. Some will know eternal destruction. But it's also true that God died for every one of us. It's true that he loves every one of us. So please tell people of your love for Jesus Christ. Please tell people what he has done for you. As best you know how. And you all know how. And whether you do it well or do it badly, I'm not sure it matters that much. What matters is that you tell. God can use that. Didn't send his angels, did he, to share the good news? He sent his disciples to share the good news. I'll remind you of this well-known passage from the mountaintop before he goes to heaven. The last words he says, every word's important from the Lord, but if it's the last words, what did he say? Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. So please, go and tell people about Jesus Christ. We pray that they will know the Lord for themselves in word and in action. We pray they'll be obedient to him and so know eternal life. Amen.